And now chapter 19 of the Antya Leela, the inconceivable behavior of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most exalted of all devotees of mothers, spoke like a madman and rubbed his face against the walls. Overwhelmed by emotions of ecstatic love, he would sometimes enter the Jagannath Ballabha garden to perform his pastimes. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaitacharya. And all glories to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the ecstasy of love of Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus behaved like a madman, talking insanely all day and night. Jagannanda Pandit was a very dear devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord derived great pleasure from his activities. Knowing his mother to be greatly afflicted by separation, the Lord would send Jagannanda Pandit to Navadvip every year to console her. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Jagannanda Pandit, "Go to Nadia and offer my obeisances to my mother. Touch her lotus feet in my name. Tell her for me, 'Please remember that I come here every day and offer my respects to your lotus feet. Any day you desire to feed me, I certainly come and accept what you offer. I have given up service to you and have accepted the vow of sannyas. I have thus become mad and have destroyed the principles of religion. Mother, please do not take this as an offense, for I, your son, am completely dependent upon you. I am staying here at Neelachal, Jagannath Puri, according to your order. As long as I live, I shall not leave this place." Following the order of Paramananda Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent his mother the prasad clothing left by Lord Jagannath after his pastimes as a cowherd boy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very carefully brought first-class prasad from Lord Jagannath and sent it in separate packages to his mother and the devotees at Nadia. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the topmost gem of all devotees of mothers. He rendered service to his mother even after he had accepted the vow of sannyas. Jagannanda Pandit thus returned to Nadia, and when he met Sachimata, he conveyed to her all the Lord's salutations. He then met all the other devotees headed by Advaitacharya and gave them the prasad of Jagannath. After staying for 1 month, he took permission from Mother Sachi to leave. When he went to Advaitacharya and also asked his permission to return, Advaita Prabhu gave him a message to deliver to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Advaitacharya had written a sonnet in equivocal language with an import that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand but others could not. In his sonnet, Advaita Prabhu first offered his obeisances hundreds and thousands of times unto the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He then submitted the following statement at his lotus feet.
"Please inform Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is acting like a madman, that everyone here has become mad like him. Inform him also that in the marketplace, rice is no longer in demand. Those now mad in ecstatic love are no longer interested in the material world. Tell Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Advaita Prabhu, who has also become a madman in ecstatic love, has spoken these words."
When he heard Advaitacharya's statement, Jagannanda Pandit began to laugh. And when he returned to Jagannath Puri, Neelachal, he informed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of everything. After hearing the equivocal sonnet by Advaitacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quietly smiled. "This is his order," he said. Then he fell silent. Although he knew the secret, Svarup Damodar Goswami inquired from the Lord, "What is the meaning of this sonnet? I could not understand it." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Advaita Acharya is a great worshipper of the Lord and is very expert in the regulative principles enjoined in the Vedic literatures. Advaita Acharya invites the Lord to come and be worshipped, and to perform the worship, he keeps the deity for some time. After the worship is completed, he sends the deity somewhere else. I do not know the meaning of this sonnet, nor do I know what is in Advaita Prabhu's mind. Advaita Acharya is a great mystic. No one can understand him. He is expert in writing sonnets that even I myself cannot understand." Hearing this, all the devotees were astonished, especially Svarup Damodar, who became somewhat morose. From that day on, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's emotional state changed markedly. His feelings of separation from Krishna doubled in intensity. As his feelings of separation in the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani increased at every moment, the Lord's activities, both day and night, were now wild, insane performances. Suddenly there awoke within Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the scene of Lord Krishna's departure to Mathura, and he began exhibiting the symptom of ecstatic madness known as Udgurna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke like a madman, holding Ramananda Roy by the neck, and he questioned Svarup Damodar, thinking him to be his gopi friend. Just as Srimati Radharani inquired from her personal friend Vishakha, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, reading that very verse, began speaking like a madman. He said, "My dear friend, where is Krishna, who is like the moon rising from the ocean of Maharaj Nanda's dynasty? Where is Krishna, his head decorated with a peacock feather? Where is he? Where is Krishna, whose flute produces such a deep sound? Oh, where is Krishna, whose bodily luster is like the luster of the blue Indranila jewel? Where is Krishna, who is so expert in Ras dancing? Oh, where is he who can save my life? Kindly tell me where to find Krishna, the treasure of my life and best of my friends. Feeling separation from him, I hereby condemn Providence, the shaper of my destiny." The family of Maharaj Nanda is just like an ocean of milk, wherein Lord Krishna has arisen like the full moon to illuminate the entire universe. The eyes of the residents of Raj are like Chakora birds that continuously drink the nectar of his bodily luster and thus live peacefully. My dear friend, where is Krishna? Kindly let me see him. My heart breaks at not seeing his face even for a moment. Kindly show him to me immediately, otherwise I cannot live. The women of Vrindavan are just like lilies growing hot in the sun of lusty desires. But moonlight Krishna makes them all jubilant by bestowing upon them the nectar of his hands. Oh, my dear friend, where is my moon now? Save my life by showing him to me. My dear friend, where is that beautiful helmet with a peacock feather upon it, like a rainbow upon a new cloud? Where are those yellow garments shining like lightning? And where is that necklace of pearls that resemble flocks of ducks flying in the sky? The blackish body of Krishna triumphs over the new blackish rain cloud. If a person's eyes even once capture that beautiful body of Krishna's, it remains always prominent within his heart.
Krishna's body resembles the sap of the mango tree, for when it enters the minds of women, it will not come out despite great endeavor. Thus Krishna's extraordinary body is like a thorn of the shayaberry tree. Krishna's bodily luster, it shines like the Indranila gem and surpasses the luster of the tamal tree. The luster of his body drives the entire world mad, because Providence has made it transparent by refining the essence of the mellow of conjugal love and mixing it with moonshine. The deep vibration of Krishna's flute surpasses the thundering of new clouds and attracts the oral reception of the entire world. Thus, the inhabitants of Vrindavan rise and pursue that sound, drinking the showering nectar of Krishna's bodily luster like thirsty chatak birds. Krishna is the reservoir of art and culture, and he is the panacea that saves my life. Oh, my dear friends, since I live without him, who is the best among my friends? I condemn the duration of my life. I think that Providence has cheated me in many ways. Why does Providence continue the life of one who does not wish to live?
This thought aroused anger and lamentation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then read a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam that chastises Providence and makes an accusation against Krishna.
O Providence, you have no mercy. You bring embodied souls together through friendship and affection, but before their desires are fulfilled, you separate them. Your activities are like the foolish pranks of children. Providence, you do not know the purport of loving affairs, and therefore you baffle all our endeavors. This is very childish of you. If we could catch you, we would give you such a lesson that you would never again make such arrangements. Oh, cruel Providence, you are very unkind. For you bring together in love people who are rarely in touch with each other. Then, after you have made them meet, but before they are fulfilled, you again spread them far apart. Oh, Providence, you are so unkind. You reveal the beautiful face of Krishna and make the mind and eyes greedy. But after they have drunk that nectar for only a moment, you whisk Krishna away to another place. This is a great sin, because you thus take away what you have given us in charity. Oh, misbehave, Providence. If you reply to us, Akrura is actually at fault, why are you angry with me? And I say to you, Providence, you have taken the form of Akrura and have stolen Krishna away. No one else would behave like this. Oh, but this is the fault of my own destiny. Why should I needlessly accuse you? There is no intimate relationship between you and me. Krishna, however, is my life and soul. It is we who live together, and it is he who has become so cruel. He for whom I have left everything is personally killing me with his own hands. Krishna has no fear of killing women. Oh, no. Indeed, I am dying for him, but he doesn't even turn back to look at me. Within a moment, he has broken off our loving affairs. Why should I be angry with Krishna? It is the fault of my own misfortune. The fruit of my sinful activities has ripened, and therefore Krishna, who has always been dependent on my love, is now indifferent. This means that my misfortune is very strong.
In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lamented in the mood of separation.
Alas, alas, O Krishna, where have you gone?
Feeling in his heart the ecstatic emotions of the gopis, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agonized in their words, saying,
O Govinda, O Damada, O Madhav.
Swarup Damada and Ramananda Roy then devised various means to pacify the Lord. They sang songs of meeting that transformed his heart and made his mind peaceful. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lamented in this way, half the night passed. Then Swarup Damada made the Lord lie down in the room known as the Gambira. After the Lord was made to lie down, Ramananda Rai returned home, and Swarup Damada and Govinda lay down at the door of the Gambira. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed awake all night, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, his mind overwhelmed by spiritual ecstasy. Feeling separation from Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so distraught that in great anxiety he stood up and began rubbing his face against the walls of the Gambira. Blood oozed from his many injuries on his mouth, nose, and cheeks, but due to his ecstatic emotions, the Lord did not know it. In ecstasy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rubbed his face against the walls all night long, making a peculiar sound like gong, gong, which Swarup Damada could hear through the door. Lighting a lamp, Swarup Damada and Govinda entered the room. When they saw the Lord's face, both of them were full of sorrow. They brought the Lord to his bed, calmed him, and then asked, "Why have you done this to yourself?" Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied,
"I was in such anxiety that I could not stay in the room. I wanted to go out, and therefore I wandered about the room, looking for the door. Unable to find the door, I kept hitting the four walls with my face. My face was injured and it bled, but I still could not get out."
In this state of madness, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mind was unsteady. Whatever he said or did was all symptomatic of madness. Swarup Damada was very anxious, but then he had an idea. The following day, he and the other devotees considered it together. After consulting with one another, they entreated Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to allow Shankara Pandit to lie down in the same room with him. Thus, Shankara Pandit lay at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Lord placed his legs upon Shankara's body. Shankara became celebrated by the name the Pillow of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was like Vidura, as Shukdev Goswami previously described him. When submissive Vidura, the resting place of the legs of Lord Krishna, had thus spoken to Maitreya, Maitreya began speaking, his hair standing on end due to the transcendental pleasure of discussing topics concerning Lord Krishna. Shankara massaged the legs of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but while massaging, he would fall asleep and thus lie down. He would lie asleep without a covering on his body, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would get up and wrap him with his own quilt. Shankara Pandit would always fall asleep, but he would quickly awaken, sit up, and again begin massaging the legs of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this way, he would stay awake the entire night. Out of fear of Shankara, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could neither leave his room nor rub his lotus-like face against the walls. This pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's has been described very nicely by Raghunath Das Goswami in his book known as Gauranga Stava Kalpaviksha. Because of separation from his many friends in Vrindavan, who are like his own life, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke like a madman. his intelligence was transformed. Day and night, he rubbed his moon-like face against the walls, and blood flowed from the injuries. May that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rise in my heart and make me mad with love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this way, stayed immersed day and night in an ocean of ecstatic love for Krishna. Sometimes he was submerged, and sometimes he floated. One full moon night in the month of Vaishakha, or April and May, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to a garden. The Lord, along with his devotees, entered one of the nicest gardens called Jagannath Vallabha. In the garden were fully blossomed trees and creepers, exactly like those in Vrindavan. Bumblebees and birds like the Shuka, Shadi, and Pika talked with one another. A mild breeze was blowing, carrying the fragrance of aromatic flowers. The breeze had become a guru and was teaching all the trees and creepers how to dance. Brightly illuminated by the full moon, the trees and creepers glittered in the light. The six seasons, especially spring, seemed present there. Seeing the garden, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was very happy. In this atmosphere, the Lord had his associates sing a verse from the Gita Govinda, beginning with the words, Lalita Lavanga Lata, as he danced and wandered about with them. As he thus wandered around every tree and creeper, he came beneath an Ashok tree and suddenly saw Lord Krishna. When he saw Lord Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began running very swiftly, but Krishna smiled and disappeared. Having first gotten Krishna and then having lost him again, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell to the ground unconscious. The entire garden was filled with the scent of Lord Sri Krishna's transcendental body. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smelled it, he fell unconscious at once. The scent of Krishna's body, however, incessantly entered his nostrils, and the Lord became mad to relish it. Srimati Radharani expressed to her gopi friends how she hankers for the transcendental scent of Krishna's body. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited that same verse and made its meaning clear. He said, "The scent of Krishna's transcendental body surpasses the aroma of musk and attracts the minds of all women. The eight lotus-like parts of his body distribute the fragrance of lotuses mixed with that of camphor. His body is anointed with aromatic substances like musk, camphor, sandalwood, and aguru. Oh, my dear friends, that personality of Godhead, also known as the enchanter of Cupid, always increases the desire of my nostrils. The scent of Krishna's body surpasses the fragrances of musk and the bluish lotus flower. Spreading throughout the 14 worlds, it attracts everyone and makes the eyes of all women blind. My dear friend, the scent of Krishna's body enchants the entire world. It especially enters the nostrils of women and remains seated there. Thus it captures them and forcibly brings them to Krishna. Krishna's eyes, navel, face, hands, and feet are like eight lotus flowers on his body. From those eight lotuses emanate a fragrance like a mixture of camphor and lotus. That is the scent associated with his body. When sandalwood pulp with a guru, kunkum, and musk is mixed with camphor and spread on Krishna's body, it combines with Krishna's own original bodily perfume and seems to cover it. The scent of Krishna's transcendental body is so attractive that it enchants the bodies and minds of all women. It bewilders the nostrils
loosens their belts and hair, and makes them mad women. All the women of the world come under its influence, and therefore the scent of Krishna's body is like a plunderer. Ah, falling completely under its influence, the nostrils yearn for it continuously, although sometimes they obtain it and sometimes not. When they do, they drink their fill, though they still want more and more. But if they don't, out of thirst, they die. The dramatic actor, Madan Mohan, has opened a shop of scents that attract the women of the world to be his customers. He delivers the scents freely, but they make the women all so blind that they cannot find the path returning home.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his mind thus stolen by that scent, ran here and there like a bumblebee. He ran to the trees and plants, hoping that Lord Krishna would appear. But instead, he found only the scent of Krishna's body. Both Svarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy sang to the Lord, who danced and enjoyed happiness until the morning arrived. Then they devised a plan to revive the Lord to external consciousness. Thus I, Krishna Das, the servant of Srila Rupa Goswami, have sung of four divisions of the Lord's pastimes in this chapter. The Lord's devotion to his mother, the words of madness, his rubbing his face against the walls at night, and his dancing at the appearance of Lord Krishna's fragrance. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus returned to consciousness. He then bathed and went to see Lord Jagannath. The pastimes of Lord Krishna are uncommonly full of transcendental potency. It is a characteristic of such pastimes that they do not fall within the jurisdiction of experimental logic and arguments. When transcendental love of Krishna awakens in one's heart, even a learned scholar cannot comprehend one's activities. The activities and symptoms of that exalted personality in whose heart love of Godhead has awakened cannot be understood even by the most learned scholar. The activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are undoubtedly uncommon, especially his talking like a madman. Therefore, one who hears of these pastimes should not put forward mundane arguments. He should simply hear the pastimes with full faith. The evidence of the truth of these talks is found in Srimad Bhagavatam. There in the section of the 10th canto, known as Brahmada Gita, the song to the bumblebee, Srimati Radharani speaks insanely in ecstatic love for Krishna. The songs of the queens at Dvarka, which are mentioned at the end of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, have a very special meaning. They are not understood even by the most learned scholars. If one becomes a servant of the servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu and is favored by them, he can believe in all these discourses. Just try to hear these topics with faith, for there is great pleasure even in hearing them. That hearing will destroy all miseries pertaining to the body, mind, and other living entities, and the unhappiness of false arguments as well. Chaitanya Charitamrita is ever increasingly fresh. Continuously hearing it pacifies one's heart and ear. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. This ends chapter 19 of the Antya Lila. the inconceivable behavior of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.